You know, we go through a lot of fads. You know, next best thing comes out in the market, and next best thing, we jump a hold of it and start following it, and pretty soon it turned out to be what it wasn't supposed to be. And we try this, but one thing that never changes, never pass away, will be the same today as it was yesterday and same tomorrow. And that's the Word of God, you know. And we sing that name's above every name. I mean, your situation is whatever you're going through. Sometimes it seems like the last thing that we do, we call upon the Lord. We try the things of the world first because, you know, in a way we're more accustomed to the things of the world. You know, if you haven't been born again very long and following the Master, it's easy to fall back to the ways of the world and try to get things for yourself by lying, cheating, and stealing, deceiving. And you realize that God promises to each one of us, each one of His children, if we seek Him, His kingdom, and His righteousness, that the things that we need will be provided for us. I mean, you can't beat that deal, you know. But what happens a lot of times, the old devil get a hold of you, and the things that God provided for you just ain't quite enough. You need a little bit more. You know, you need something more fancy, or you need something this or that, and we talked about a couple of weeks ago when the Israelites cried out they wanted a king like everybody else did. You know, God wasn't good enough for them. The judges that God used to govern with wasn't good enough for them. So they cried out for a king, and then God gave them a king. And King Saul showed up, and look what happened from there on, you know. But the Lord, I mean, He's the number one. And if you're a follower of Jesus, just get closer with Him. One song we were singing, the Lord, just light that fire again, you know. And the question this morning is that fire that God lit in you whenever you come to know Christ, turn the lights up, please. The lights. Thank you. I can't tell who's awake and who isn't, you know. No. But, I lost my train of thought. That quick. I was speaking and boom. Help me out. It hurts. Okay. I figured somebody would say, well, you say in the closing prayer, Pastor. I forget if I made amends on that. But, Jesus, light my fire. You're lighting that fire again, you know. So we look at ourselves today and, you know, is that desire for the Lord, is it passionate today as it was when we come to know Him? You know, have we allowed the things in the world to come in and start depleting that fire that we have for Him, that love for Him, that desire to follow Him, the desire, the number one thing is to love Him and share the gospel, you know? Do we find ourselves going around and wherever we might be at and sharing what God shared with you the day He picked you up? Yeah, we sang that song, and we're going to talk about it today, but the Jericho Road, you know. And the question is, you know, when the Master found you on your Jericho Road, and He picked you up, however He did that, and dusted you off, man, do you remember how it felt? Finally had somebody, someone that cared about you, someone that loved you, someone that made sense, someone that received you for who you was, what you had done, someone who wanted to walk with you. Oh, wow, you know? And as we concentrate on that, man, He wants us to do the same thing for those who we encounter, you know, that we come in contact with. Because we were sharing the other day, and I had a gentleman walking down the street. The other day, I was sitting outside there waiting for ministry, and the time would be up, and he was passing and said, Jesus is coming back in 9 days. I said, nah, I said, He's not coming back. I mean, no one knows the day and the hour. He's coming back. And he told me he's a watchman on the wall and all this. I said, well, buddy, He's coming back. But to say He's coming back 9 days, He could. But no one knows the day and the hour. We just got to be ready. And then he walked down the street, came back up around again, said, He's coming back in 9 days. And so, you know, He could be here in 9 days, you know. I pray we're all ready for Him to come back, you know. I pray He's coming to receive us. But until then, boy, I tell you, one more soul, one more person, you know. And I shared this earlier this week, but, you know, last Monday we had the privilege of leading a lady up in Cleveland, Dover, hospital to the Lord. She wanted to see a preacher, and she remembered me from a wedding I did. And we were blessed. Me and Carol was able to go up and share the gospel with her, and she turned her life to Jesus. And before we get done praying, she said, "Oh man, I felt like a bunch of weight just got off of me," you know. And that's what the Lord does. He removes that weight, and if we're not careful, we allow the world to put that weight back on us, right? And not saying not to sin, but we get the point that we have to do all this religious stuff in order to keep our salvation. Amen. And you get in the morning, you get down and out because you didn't do this yesterday or this yesterday. Hey, listen, we serve the Lord where we're at. Our salvation was won at the cross. It's a free gift. We received it. Everything else is something that we want to do because He lives inside of us, you know? Like the guy on the Jericho Road, and the Good Samaritan came around the corner to pick him up. You know, God was guiding him to use him, you know? That's what we're going to look at a little bit today, just for a little bit today. And again, to moms today, we just thank you so much. We can say one thing for sure. None of us would be here without moms. And moms come in different shapes and sizes, meaning some mom birth children, and some moms are the ones who come along and raise the children. Amen, folks. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, what it is. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't change today to Birthing Parent Day. I mean, I was surprised that everything's gone on now, you know. But it's still Mother's Day, and always will be Mother's Day. I mean, look at, you know, some of the moms in the Bible come to mind is the one that is in 1 Kings. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to tell you about him. You might remember him. But it's titled The Unknown Mother. And it's where two mothers give birth to babies. And unfortunately, during the course of raising a child there, the youngsters, one mother's baby passed away. I'm sure it was smothered, I believe. And so she grabbed the other lady's baby and said, "This is my baby." Well, she went to Solomon and said, "Listen, man, she stole my kid. It was my baby. I want my child back." And Solomon, man, the wisdom that Solomon had is awesome. I mean, some parts are really wise. The other part, look at how many wives he had, you know? I mean, we kind of got to balance things out a little bit. But they come to that petition. He says, "She says, it's my child." And the real mother says, "No, it's mine." And Solomon said, "I know how to solve it." And he picked the child up and said, "Bring me a sword. We'll cut the child in half. We'll cut the child in half and give half to each." And the real mother says, No, don't. She can have him. She can have, don't cut the child in half. Don't." Boom. And Solomon says, "Oh, that's the real mother. She cared more for her child than herself." And some of us here today, I understand this. You're either that mother, or you're that child. Understand? Either maybe you had to give up your child. Maybe you love your child so much you just couldn't handle it. You couldn't take care of them. And you gave the child to someone else to raise. And the other half is this. You might be that child that the mother could not raise. She could, whatever reason it might be. The struggle, whatever it might be in life. She couldn't raise you. And here you are. You're that child that she gave away because she loved you so much. Understand that. I mean, nowadays mom didn't have to birth you. And think of the struggles you went through. But man, moms, you're awesome. And folks, talk about moms. I just want to encourage you folks, as we continue in the world that we're living in today and the big battle going on right now. I mean, most of us are kind of excited that we got a little gump about the Supreme Court. They might be turning Roe versus Wade over. Everybody following that right now? I mean, it was leaked out for various reasons, you know. Part of the reason I believe it was leaked because that movie came out, 2,000 Mules. Anybody familiar with that yet? Try to keep your eyes off of that, okay? But trying to reverse Roe versus Wade. Now, at the same time, praise God for Louisiana. I mean, they are passing a bill down there. It's already went 7-2. It'll be working on this week, that they're going to take abortion as it is and classify it as a murder and make it a felony, okay? So, and I don't know the whole contents of the bill, okay? And I've shared my heart before with you that at the federal level, we have the right to protect life. That's part of our Constitution, right, for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Bring it down to the state level and bring it back to an individual level. I mean, I don't know what it would be like to be a lady and be getting ready to give birth to a child, and you got complications, and only one of you can survive. Only one of you can survive. You have to make a decision, and to me, that decision is something to be made at a local level between you and your husband, and your pastor, and your doctor. That's a decision that I know no lady would want to make. But the decision has to be made. And I see it that if the mama's already got three children and dad and somebody that raises children, and if mommy has to be the one to survive, we know that little baby would be in the arms of Jesus. Amen? We know that. But that's a decision that how it should be made to have it the way it is. It has to be changed. But at the same time, they're trying to pass a law this week. Mr. Schumer, they already got it drafted up and we'll vote on Monday to make it, I can't read the law to you, but make it illegal to stop abortion at a federal level. They're trying to stop the Supreme Court, and they're hoping to vote on it by Wednesday. So a lot of stuff is going on. So we need to keep praying, amen? Keep interceding, and you know, if you're like us, your congressmen, your senators probably know your name by heart, probably. I mean, they know my wife's name so much, she sends me emails all the time to them, and I don't think they care much for some of them, though, because they're on the other side of the table. But with that said, one thing I like to remember ourselves, guys, bless the little mommies that's trying to raise their children. And it's tough. And some of them, you know, real young, and they brought these children into the world. And folks, if you can, if you have the opportunity, and they need help, help them out. Diapers are expensive, right? I mean, we all agree that, man, we want these babies to be born. That's the next generation, because God has a plan and purpose for every one of us, right? Every one of us, you know, wow. And so, to look and say, well, she had the kid, she can take care of it. Well, that might be, I don't think Jesus would say that. You know, hey, life is very important. And so we have the opportunity, if they need diapers, they might need food, they might need help. The last thing they need is to be criticized, amen? And if we're willing to stand up for the right for life, let's be willing to stand up the right to help secure those lives and do what we can to help them out. Amen? Amen. And again, if in your earlier life, in your lifetime, if you had to make a decision and you aborted a child, hey, listen, you know, as you come to Christ, you know, only you know why you made that decision, but God forgives us, amen? Our little baby's in heaven, and what we want to do now is try to educate other people, watch out. For the heartache that can come afterward. But God is the renewer of our spirit. And as Ryan spoke earlier, God has put the spirit of joy back into our life. Don't carry these heavy loads. Amen? Amen. But we look out today, and today we have doctors and nurses and teachers and firemen and policemen and military men, power linemen and telephone technicians and tow truck drivers and food servers and cooks and lawn care and farmers and mailmen and trash collectors and factory workers make the things that we use. There's floors, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. We're all, everyone, to our moms. You know, later on today, if you go to a drive-thru to save yourself from time from cooking at home, or you go into a restaurant, you can do that because of moms. Think of that. Next time you go through that drive-thru and you gotta wait a little longer, or maybe you get there, like I testified last couple weeks ago, they forgot to put the hamburger on my hamburger. Okay. But just remember that, number one, there's someone that's trying to work, right? Amen. There's someone that mommy birthed, and they're out there trying to do the best that they can. So we need to look at it that way. And I just got to tell you a quick little story. It'll take about 45 minutes. No, just a couple minutes. I was at Bueller's yesterday. I was down there last night, and I was checking out. I was about third or fourth back, and this little lady was in front of about three of us, and she had purchased some items, and she got out her checkbook, and of course, me, you know, if I'm buying something, I'm all ready to pay. Just tell me how much. Well, the price comes up. Okay, she turns to her cart, opens her purse up, reaches in, gets out the checkbook, turns, opens up. Slowly, I mean, probably 2.5-3 minutes writing it, you know. I mean, just hand it to the gentleman. He goes to run it through, looks down. She had several items she forgot to run through. So load them back up on the conveyor belt, run them through. Of course, by this time, before she noticed it, she already had the checkbook back in her purse, had the purse back in her cart. So we got the purse back out, got the checkbook back out, wrote it, checkbook back in, purse back in, checked everything, got a receipt, and walked on. Probably 8 minutes total, okay? And this guy who waited on her, his name was Keegan. I'm telling you what, when my turn come up, I thanked him. I thanked this young man for his patience. I thank him for his concern. Never once did he roll his eyeballs. Never once, gee, come on, you know. He was so polite for this gentleman. And I said, thank you. Mama, whoever that mama is, thank you, you know. And I told him, I said, well, he's very polite. I appreciate that. He said, well, I learned patience, you know. I said, that's a good thing to learn. God appreciates that. Because someday the Lord tarries. That's going to be you. He just smiled at me and I went on, you know. But so, yeah, it was just awesome, you know, to see this generation and people and kids. And you know, we all got a purpose in life. Now, I was thinking also about moms birthing your kids and stuff. And a lot of times, mommy beat yourself up over your kids, you know. But I'm telling you, I'm thinking about, I don't know, unnamed. But when Jesus was crucified on the cross, I wonder which mom out there birthed the guy who made the cross. I wonder which mom out there saw him cut down, whatever they cut down the tree, and see him nailing that cross and putting that cross up. I mean, how many mama's hearts would have broke saying, man, my son's helping to crucify the Savior of the world. How many moms realize that God used their son to fulfill the sacrifice? If her son had not made the cross to crucify the Son of God, we had no salvation. And who knows, at the foot of that cross, the man who made that cross standing there, and they hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This act that he might have had enjoyment. Yeah, we're going to take this Jew and we're going to nail him to the cross. Yeah, we'll teach him. Run his mouth in our area. In the twinkling of an eye, can you imagine? There's that child who mama thought he was really the worst thing in the world come face to face with Jesus. Who knew him and Jesus might be hanging out in heaven together? You know that? And I would imagine, this is me thinking, Jesus being a carpenter, he would say, hey, listen, that crossbeam wasn't level. You know what I'm saying? When you made that. But see, he did. God used it. Understand? So God can use anything. Every one of our children, and we all are children, right? We're somebody's children. We have to be. We've been birthed. Amen? And so God can use the things. In our past, he uses right now. You know, as we come to him, he'll take the things and he'll turn around and he'll use it for his glory and for us. Think about the things. Don't dwell on the things in your past that you don't want to think about. But somehow it led you to here. Somehow it brought you near the Master. Amen? Amen. You know? I had a dear friend of mine pass away this week. a friend of ours that we met years ago, Ethel Goff, 101 years old. And she was waiting to see the Lord. She said, "Man, why I'm still here?" I said, "You're here because of your prayer life. Because you're ready to see Jesus, but He's not ready for you yet. Because you're still praying." And we would pray for her children and pray for her grandchildren. Because those prayers continue for the throne forever and ever. And ladies, when you're praying for your children and you think, "Man, there's no hope. I don't know what I'm going to do." Hey, listen. You're praying to God of the universe. Your prayers are very powerful. Even though at this moment you might not see them working out, those prayers continue to intercede on their behalf. That mama whose boy made that cross, you know, she may have stepped into glory before she knew that he came to know Christ, that God used him. Wow. That kind of reminds me of a funny story. I had a guy stop in one time. I was cleaning the church on a Saturday a while back, setting stuff up. And he came in and says, "Yeah, I want some of this and this." I said, "Oh, buddy," I says, "I'm getting things set up for tomorrow when I have church, you know." I said, "I can get you something out of the fridge, but this stuff is for Sunday." He says, "Well, wait," he says, "if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here." I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah, this stuff is given to you to give to me because I live on the streets." And that was an attitude he had, like, "Oh, my, you know. But I said, "Hey, no, you come to church on Sunday. Get a bite to eat that way, you know." So we get this attitude once in a while that everything that's given to us, or everything that someone else has, is for us. It's for those who don't work for it. And we all know that, you know, we work for things, right? Except for one thing. And that's our salvation. We receive it as we are. Because you got to humble yourself to receive a gift. Can you imagine? Charlie, I'm looking right at you for a second. Can you imagine me coming back here every time I slap you, I slap you, I slap you in the face, I slap you, I slap you in the face. And one day you walk up to me and say, "Here, Starkey, I got this gift for you." You know how much humbling I have to do? Oh, man. "Hey, I'm going to pay for it." No. It's a free gift. There I am, my guilt. Man, all I did was insult you. I slapped you. And you won't give me a gift? Wow. And folks, that's what Jesus did to us. Our life before him, we slapped him around. We just made fun of him. We distorted him. And he said, "You can't pay for it. You can't work enough good deeds for it." It's a free gift. And when you receive that, you've got it. Follow him. He'll take you from there. Amen. Amen. Hey, tradition here for Mother's Day, we give you all a gift. This year, same as before, we give you a certificate for Dairy Queen. This year, a little bit different. It's a $7 gift certificate. It caused inflation. But I went down there and checked, and they got a lot of meals down there for $7. And so that's why we make it $7, you know. One year we actually made it, like $6.37. We cover the tax and everything on it and stuff, you know. But from us to you, happy Mother's Day. I wrote up in the corner $7 in case you're like me. Well, I don't get Mother's Day cards, but in case you put it in your purse someday and you can't remember how much it was for. Yep, amen. You can't have that. No. 80. Happy Mother's Day, Bob. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Yep. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Oops, somebody's phone. Happy Mother's Day. 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 A happy Mother's Day. Hi there, and if you don't like Dairy Queen, let me know, because get back to I do. Hey, Bob, from Maggie. Yeah. Yep. You're not a mommy yet, are you? No, your name's not Roberta. It's Robert. Come on now. Don't try. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, I'm going to take you out to dinner today for Mother's Day. Going to Dairy Queen. Yeah, we was down in Zanesville yesterday. They didn't have baked potatoes at Wendy's. They sold out already. So, wow. But we're going to turn briefly, if you'd like to the book of Luke, chapter 10. I'm going to start with verse 25 and share a couple of things here with you this morning. What's that, huh? Okay. Luke 10. Okay. And then Luke, what's going on right here? If you remember, Jesus sent out the 70 and they came back rejoicing because they had thrown demons out of people and stuff. And Jesus would say, listen, just rejoice that your name's written down in the book of life, you know, because casting demons out of people, that's just secondary. I mean, as a Christian, we can do that all day long. But what he was speaking, verse 25, it says a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" A lawyer did it. I don't know if it was a lawyer, not a banker. You know, probably because lawyers used to working things out, you know, and try to find a way to... No, never mind. There's a lot of good lawyers out there. Amen? Amen. And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Then Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Otherwise, let's get down to the little brass tacks here. Who is my neighbor? I imagine in his head he's thinking about, I'm going to move out in the country somewhere. You know? Amen? I mean, you got to love your neighbor. I don't go up someplace where I don't have any neighbors at all. It'd be easy to do that, you know? Well, Jesus tells this parable in verse 30. You trying to find your app on the phone there, buddy? Or okay. I can give you time to find it. You sure? Okay. Ever have that? How many people got their phone, a Bible on the phone anymore? Isn't that awesome? And they forget to charge your phone up. I have my Kindle charged, but I had it to use. And if you don't charge it up, it's kind of hard to read that thing. So it's still hanging in there. But verse 30, it says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him. He went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put them on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return I will repay you.' Now which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into a robber's hands?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy towards him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." So we look for a moment, and we're talking about the Jericho Road. We sang that song earlier, you know. I'm finally bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road, and he poured in the oil, and we just want to celebrate and stuff. But, you know, what's that? Do we look like that? No, probably not, you know. But you realize that the road to Jericho from Jerusalem, it ran about 15, 17 miles long. And when you left Jerusalem, headed toward Jericho, it was a 3,600-foot descent as you went. And this road was rocky. It had a bunch of curves in it, cliffs and stuff like that. It was really a terrible road to walk on. So why were they walking on it? Well, Jericho, folks, was an oasis. Jericho was a place where Herod the Great built his winter home. It had pools. It was a place where rich people went and hung out. Wow. I mean, who ever thought of that? Jericho. A place, it's the place where the stars go. Okay? And so we have this man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And while he's going, he gets robbed. Think of that. I mean, it's, what did he say that happened to him? I see. Fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, I thought it was strange. Why did it say they robbed him, but then they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead? So was this guy, was he a tourist? Was he headed down Jericho to spend a week or two at one of the spas they had down there? And just by going down the road, he come across these robbers waiting for him. Who remembers the story about blind Bartimaeus? Remember blind Bartimaeus? Jesus was on the way to Jericho. And blind Bartimaeus was hanging out along the road, okay? Begging. See, the rich people went down this road. It'd be kind of like if in California you went to Hollywood. Well, thank you. I was going to say Hollywood Square, but that's a whole different thing. Hollywood Boulevard, because you know that people traveling down this is going to be rich people. You know, so you're hanging out, they're like, hey, alms for the poor. You know? So that's what we got going on here. And these robbers, these people know rich people travel up and down. So it's kind of like, hey, Ryan, can I borrow you a minute?
Don't be stupid.
No. Well, I was going to say, he's going to sit down on the edge of it. Just sit down on the. He's going to be our man that got robbed, okay? And Jesus said, I'm not going to have a strip your neck or nothing like that, okay? But here I am. I'm a priest. Otherwise, I'm a religious person, right? Now, I'm a religious person. And I'm going down, I'm headed toward Jericho, okay? I had a good offering on Sunday. I'm going to Jericho to relax for a while, okay? And I come along down the street. I look at, man, this guy's all bloody, he's beat up. He's laying there naked, you know? I cross over here, and I keep on going. But here comes the Levite. The Levite would be Aaron. Remember Moses' brother there? They were the good priests. They aren't bad priests, but they weren't the Pharisees, okay? They're coming down, and they see it. Oh, man. I'm going this way here. Because maybe this guy laying here, maybe one of them recognized him. I mean, maybe, but wow, isn't that Ryan? Man, he's got a lot of money. Wait a second, they robbed him. Well, man, if I go over here and try to help him out, man, they might get me. No. Sorry, good luck, buddy. In fact, you know, some of the rich people would pay a toll to travel the road to Jericho to be protected, not to get robbed. I thought, wow, that's cool. That's probably the first toll road, you know? We do that when we go to Virginia. We'll pay like $40 in tolls to drive on this better highway, you know? Not the bumpy road. Now, we can take the bumpy road and get lost and see Daniel Boone. We did that a couple of times, you know? But I paid the price. I can travel smoothly. And so that's what they would do. They would hire and pay a price to take me maybe even a different route, that way I won't get robbed. Those guys look at him, man. I ain't gonna mess with him. No. But then here comes a Samaritan, and he looks, and we have a Jew laying here. Samaritan and Jews did not get along. I mean, Jews thought treated Samaritans like dogs. I mean, that's what they did back in the day. That's how they. And he saw this man, and he had compassion for him. And he went over and he met him. I mean, when he bent down like this, he exposed himself to the same territory and the same people that beat this guy up. Think about the compassion he had. This guy, I mean, he could have run around like everybody else. He could have run around and get down to Jericho and ran into the priest and the Levite, and he said, "Hey man, did you see that guy laying along the road up there? A guy. Oh man, I thought it was a deer. I thought a deer got hit by a car, man. Oh, in order to cover up for his guilt, he should have done something. You know, there could be all kind of stuff that could have took place. But this Samaritan who knows that they don't have a good thing going on. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a good relationship, Samaritans and the Hebrews, the Jews. But he was willing not just to turn his back to the same thing that took him out. He had no idea what happened. You know? Now, when he got down here, did he discover, wait a second, I recognize this guy. He runs a local bank. This guy's rich. Would that have been the motivation then? Hey, I'm going to help this guy out, man. I just paid a couple of bucks in my pocket, you know? Or maybe this could be the poorest guy you ever seen in his life. Maybe that's why he got beat up. Maybe that's why they stripped him. Maybe because they bunked him on the head because he's going down to Jericho. That's where all the rich people go. And here this dude is so poor, he's headed down to Jericho, laid along the road to beg with blind Bartimaeus. Maybe. And so when they hit him in the head, they realize that there's nothing. He has nothing. So to embarrass him, to bring shame to him, they strip him naked and leave him laying there. I don't know. I just know the master uses this parable to teach us something. And what he teaches was compassion and love. I mean, they said this guy was on a journey. So he had places to go. You know? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he had a spa reservation down in Jericho. You know, maybe he had a travel agent, had it booked for months. I don't know. And it sounds like if he did, he picked the guy up, clothed him, there we go, put him on his own mule, on his beast. So I'm assuming he put him on this beast. This rich guy, or this Good Samaritan, is walking now. And I'm just assuming he's headed to Jericho because he's going to stop at an inn and put him in the inn. You know, he tended to his wounds out there on the road. Then when he got to the inn, say, "Listen, innkeeper, I'm going to put him up here. I mean, I'm on a journey. I'll be coming back in a few days, okay? Here. Oh, man, I don't have no money. Here. I got an old Henry penknife. There, okay? You hang on to that, okay? Whatever he needs, I'm coming back, I'll pay you for it. I will pay you for it, okay?" And boom, I left him there. I come back later on and paid the bill. Now, modern day Jericho, folks, is any path that you were on in your life when Jesus found you? Where were you at the day that, man, a light bulb came on and you realized, man, I need Jesus? Man, and wherever you was at, I don't know where you come. You know where you're at. I knew where I was at. And he reached down. He didn't care about his reputation. He didn't care about where you're coming from. He didn't care if you're black or white or yellow or red or green. He didn't care your background at all. He picked you up. Maybe people have been going around you for a long time. Maybe people have been avoiding you all because, man, they know. Oh, they know where you've been, what you've done. And so they walk clear over here away from you. You ever have that? You see somebody in the store you know, and they run away from you? Or maybe that's just preachers they run from. I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? Most times people run from me because they don't have much time to talk. Folks, run into me, say, you got to go. I understand, okay? I don't get a chance to talk much at home. But here we are. I'm always busy praying. So no. But here, on your Jericho Road, now, think of that. Jesus reaches down to the poorest of us, and he reaches down to the richest of us. Now, Ryan being a rich man laying there, here I come along, I deserve your right. All that money he's got, that tight wad, he should have hired security. My brother all runs the security system. Yeah, there you go. I'm not going around you, I'm just going to step over top of you. Boom, boom. Okay, here I come. Head of Jericho. Poor guy, laying there. Bum, you just get a job. I'm telling you what, crap is hiring. You know what I'm saying? And keep on going. Don't matter who's on the Jericho Road. He's calling us to bend down and pick somebody up. Amen? Just how he picked us up. Let him pick you up where you're at. Let him pour in the water and the wine. Let him dust you off. Let him tell you, you are worth something. You were made in his image. Your mama gave birth for you, for God. You're here because God wanted you. In order to get you here, he needed a mama. In order to teach you how to walk, he needed a mama. In order to discipline you, he needed a mama. You have a lot of Jericho roads out there, and going back, what I said earlier, we have, being mothers and the moms, we have a lot of ladies laying on the Jericho Road. We have a lot of them beaten by life itself. A lot of them been cursed. Some of them been shunned by people. Told they're no good. They're worthless. You messed your life up. Folks, anybody here has never messed your life up? We got to quit looking through judgmental eyes. And let Christ look through our eyes. Wow, I just wondered. Man, when this dude got better. I mean, did he help make relationship between Jews and Samaritans better? I wonder if he ended up building an inn somewhere halfway between Jericho and Jerusalem. You know? It's called the Dew Drop Inn or something, you know. Just to be there. To help people with. You know, I don't know, guys. I know. I'm a little bit different, I guess. But I'm thinking because I know how awesome he's going to be. How awesome. I heard a fellow tell me one who was describing this event. He says, what the priest would have done maybe, ran over to him and gave him last rites. Then went back to church and cautioned everybody, don't go down Jericho Road. It's really terrible this time, you know. Or the Levite, or the pastor would stop by and look at him and say, oh, and run back to church and say, but we got to take up an offering. We need more money. We need more security on that road. You know, instead of tending to the emergency at hand, try to do something different. You know, God hasn't called us to save the world. He's called us to love our neighbor. Amen. And the neighbor might be up and about and doing awesome. And they might be down the molly grubs. He wants us to reach down to them and lift them up. Folks, the same way. If you're down and out, he wants us to reach up. Reach up to him. Lift me, Lord. How does he lift us? Number one is that he loves us. He cares for us. He wants to pour in the oil and the wine and renew us. You know, we got one of the things last night, me and Carol, my land sakes. It was 2:30 in the morning before we got to bed. Because I was cooking lasagna. But we were having praise and worship. And we had the, oh man, it just, I don't know, just on a Saturday night, just praising him. You know, lifting up our spirits, you know, because the world's tough. The world is tough. And man, even when you listen to the Christian news and events, it's getting heavy. It's getting heavy. But you know, God's not done yet. We've got to draw close to Him. Let Him lift us up. Let Him encourage us. And go day by day, loving our neighbors. And picking folks up and carrying them on. That Jericho Road has a lot of people on it. We've all come through. Maybe not sidestep. Maybe not sidestep. Maybe help that we can. And sometimes the help that you can give might just be a phone call. Amen? Maybe not just calling them, but calling someone you know can help. Yeah, it makes a difference in people's lives. Let the Spirit of the Lord, let it move you. Amen? Amen. Thank you, son. What's that? I pray for wisdom all the day. I can't spank his butt anymore. Well, I can, but I can't run fast enough to do it in, you know. But today on Mother's Day, just rejoice. I don't know what your life was with your mama, but I just tell you that because our moms that we're here today, and God had a purpose for her to give birth to you. Isn't that awesome? You know, my mama had been gone 30 years last week, you know, and I would love to have a blackberry cake one more time. My sister gave me the recipe, but I haven't tried it yet. I thought I'd try the lasagna on you guys today, you know, but we'll close out the service with a blessing, and then if you have a prayer concern today, if you want to come down, our praise and worship team will pray with you, and I agree with you in the Word of God. And, you know, as I close out in a blessing, truly, it's not just a thing I do to close, but it's truly a blessing, asking the Lord to bless you. So, Moses, he hands it on down. So, that's actually this morning, if you want to receive the blessing from the Lord this morning, just raise your hand up while I say the blessing. And so may God bless and keep you always. May God bless you with joy, peace, and happiness. May God bless you and keep you safe. May God bless you with many more joyful years. May God bless you with good health and His sweet presence. May God's blessing rest upon you and your household and upon your children's children's children. And may God continue to bless you today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.